Second scripture reading is 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Second Chronicles 13, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and 7 rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper." But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them, so that they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jeshana with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah. And the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty, and married 14 wives, and begat 22 sons and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So the first section of this stretches all the way down to verse 12, and it's pretty much, with just a few other details, the speech of Abijah, as he's called in 1 Kings 14, Abijam, with an M on the end, as he stood upon the mountain there. What was the name of the mountain again? Let's see, where was it? Well, I don't see it right now off the top of my head, but it's in Ephraim. And so notice where Abijah is. He's gone forward into Israelite territory, and he's pronounced this challenge, if you will. But it's really not so much of a challenge as it is a plea to return to the Lord God of your fathers. Now, we may read this portion here in 2 Chronicles 13, and it may sound pretty good to us. It does sound pretty good. But if we turn back to 1 Kings chapter 14, we'll see that Abijam, is not really godly in his movements, in his activity, but he certainly knows the right thing to say, doesn't he? So, in order to get the accurate picture of Abijah, we return to 1 Kings 14 and 15, and there we find that his heart was not right with the Lord, that he walked not in the ways of his father David. And so what do we learn, first of all? We learn that hypocrites can make a fair show, can they not? They can. Further, we learn most assuredly that there was some ulterior motive for Abijah to sound so pious here, some other motive than the love of the truth. It's kind of like the question that was asked to one of our American presidents. Do you think the Lord is on our side or the side of our enemies? And the president answered the question and said, that question to me is of very little moment. The question is whether or not we're on his side. Was Abijah on the Lord's side? And I think that 1 Kings 14 and 15 say that probably was not. But Abijah was careful to advertise that the Lord was on his side. So we must be careful there. We must see that difference and be careful that we're not simply claiming the name of the Lord because it favors some temporal good that we're after. What was Abijah after? He was after the northern kingdom, to bring it home, to bring it back, to expand his own kingdom, because who would be king after they reunited? Well, obviously Abijah would be king. And so he could be king over two tribes or 12 tribes. Perhaps he had some other motive in mind. However, we note that the land is blessed even for this insincere reformation and subjugation of the northern kingdom. That while Abijah may not have had the best of motives in saying what he said the truth. And in saying the truth, then, the forces of Jeroboam turned away from the truth and suffered for it. Notice that the Lord is able, in his wondrous providence and genius rule over everything, to have all of these moving parts in exactly the places where they ought to be. And so, is Abijah steadfast with the Lord? Probably not. But in speaking the truth and preaching the truth to the northern kingdom, when they reject him, they reject the truth. And so, they are bested for it and lose 5/8 of their forces that day. 5/8. Now, that's not a decimation. That would be to come back with 10%. That's what we mean to be decimated. But it's not a whole lot better to go out with 800,000 and to come back with 300,000. 500,000 Israelites died in the field that day. So when the Lord is disposed to a course, he sometimes uses the unlikeliest of vessels to perform his will. We'll remember what the Lord had promised Jeroboam, and we'll see some of the Lord's reasoning behind this providential movement. The Lord promised Jeroboam through the prophet that if he followed the Lord and walked in the ways of David, that he would have a kingdom like David's kingdom. But he didn't do that. Abijah is correct when he says, "You have cast off the God of our fathers, and now you're worshiping a God we know not what in these calves, and that you've made the basest of men, whoever can come and consecrate himself with seven bullocks, he can be a priest, or seven rams, that he can be a priest." And beloved, that's not how we become priests in the Old Testament. We note also that an outcome does not make a deed righteous. This is an important point. Abijah's heart was not right with the Lord, and although he won the victory that day, he is not justified in going back home and saying, "I must be right with the Lord." And then also we see that the fairest of speeches does not make one a true Christian. All the world may be fooled. Our own hearts may be fooled. But the Lord is not fooled. Right? Deuteronomy 5, 28 through 30. "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always." Because the people had said, "Oh, we've heard the voice and we'll do whatever the Lord commands." Note also in this passage how the purpose of the chronicler is seen. The details that are given in the speech of Abijah tells us that the chronicler is concerned about the temple and worship of God and not much concerned about Abijah's faithfulness or not. The writer of 1 Kings is much more concerned about the latter. The writer of 2 Chronicles is much more concerned about the former, the worship of God. And so, what is Jeroboam assaulted for? For perverting the worship of God. What is the southern kingdom exalted for? For keeping the worship of God according to the commandment. So this tells us more about what 1 and 2 Chronicles is all about. In the final section then, verses 13 through the end of the passage, 22, the children of Judah relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. That's what it says. So, while Abijah may have had a good confession that day, but his heart was not right with the Lord, it turns out that much of the army did indeed rest upon the Lord. And so the Lord did not abandon those faithful that were in the army, but protected them in spite of the hypocrisy of their king. This is significant, for it reveals the necessity that we ourselves ought to have keeping faithful with the Lord, even though our rulers go astray. The Lord will yet bless his people, even if they have wicked rulers, if they remain faithful in that relative sense. This victory was much about Jeroboam's sin, as it was also much about the faithfulness of the people that relied upon the Lord. We know not what the Lord will do, so we must stay ready, we must stay prepared, we must remain faithful, and there is always hope for a blessed end when our cause is of God. Finally, we see then that the Lord had promised to keep that light alive in Judah, and that he did. That the people were faithful, even though their ruler perhaps was not. And they were that faithful witness to that promise and its fulfillment. And we'll have good King Asa coming next in behind King Abijah. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God.